Well, everybody, welcome to episode 124 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, before we get started tonight, I wanted to give a quick shout out to my old buddy from Ankeny, Paul Rhodes, the former Ankeny native and the former Iowa State football coach. Got a new job today as a program analyst with the Ohio State football program, and that's a great gig for Paul to get. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he does out there. And I do have family out in Columbus, so I'm looking forward to maybe taking a road trip out there this year. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of Ankeny hoops tonight as the basketball season winds down. In a little while, I'll be visiting with Ankeny boys coach Brant Carlson and one of his top players. Later on, I will be also previewing Saturday's boys state swim meet with one of the key swimmers on the Ankeny squad. But right now, we're going to focus on the Ankeny girls basketball team with my first two guests. My first guest is the team's head coach, and he has guided the Hawkettes to an 8-6 record. He's Drew McAnally. Drew, thanks for joining me on the phone. How are you doing?
Doing great, Dan. Appreciate you having us on, and as always, thanks for everything you do for Ankeny sports.
Hey, you bet. Well, congratulations on your team's 79-21 victory over Des Moines Hoover last night. That was the largest win the team has had during your tenure. But you guys, you know, had an unexpected week off since Friday's game at Marshalltown was canceled due to some COVID-19 issues with the Bobcats. And of course, your team was coming off a tough stretch of four losses in 6 days before that, all of them to ranked opponents. So, boy, you guys really needed to get back on the court and get a win, didn't you?
Yeah. Second of all, Hoover played really hard, but a team that we were fortunate enough to take care of business and get a lot of girls in and let some seniors play that don't normally play, but get us back in game mode, and some girls got their shooting touch back and some confidence back, and it was a nice win for us and getting ready for this stretch run.
Well, your team also had to overcome some adversity because one of your starters, forward Kalissa Wright, was in a car accident over the weekend and suffered a concussion. So how is she doing, and how long do you think she'll be out?
I'd say it's day-to-day right now. She's doing as good as expected. She's doing about half days of school right now. She was at practice tonight. Just always great to see Kalissa's smiling face, positive attitude. She brings a lot of just great energy. She's one of the neatest kids I've ever been around in 18 years of coaching. So this is obviously unfortunate. First and foremost, we're just extremely grateful that it was just a concussion. You know, with the car wreck and Iowa weather, obviously we don't even want to think about what it could have been. So we're just glad she's okay, and her health is our first priority. So getting her healthy and getting her back to normal is first and foremost. When she can play, I would say she will be out this Friday. And then, you know, with this regional pairings coming out, I think it's going to help her cause and our cause, for that matter, with not having to play that Wednesday, not play until Saturday the 20th. So we're hoping to see her then, and the trainer's pretty optimistic that she can be back by then.
All right. Well, we're certainly going to talk about those pairings that just came out today here in a little bit. But I mentioned that tough stretch that you guys had. It began with a 69-50 loss at Dowling Catholic on January 28th. But then the next night, your team played Ankeny Centennial down to the wire before dropping a 47-34 decision. And then came a couple of close losses at Valley and at Roosevelt that both came down to the final seconds. And I know you told me that you didn't want to go 0-4 during that stretch, but were you able to take away some positives, you know, from those games?
Learned a lot about ourselves, some little things and key moments that we need to get better at, grow at. Obviously, you know, especially the two last Monday, Tuesday with Valley and Roosevelt, probably didn't help our seating, but it is what it is. But this team is so resilient. They stay the course, they stay positive, and it's helped us tweak some things and put some new wrinkles and really learn a lot about ourselves, not only from a basketball perspective, but just from a character standpoint. And as always, this group is really answered the call.
I saw three of those four games myself, and one of the positives came in that loss at Valley, where your team's primary reserve, Rachel Christman, came off the bench, and she scored a career-high 20 points, going 6 of 8 from three-point range. And after she scored 15 points last night, she's now averaged nearly 12 points over the last six games. You know, boy, she's really stepped up for you, hasn't she?
Unbelievable. Rachel has been just, first and foremost, she's a senior, and she hasn't started but two or three games this year, and she's going to start these next she'll start Friday night again with Calissa out, but never made anything of it. Has always worked, came to practice with a positive attitude, made the most of every day, and that is just a prime example of everything that goes on in our society and athletics of a kid that didn't dwell, didn't get negative, put team first, put the program first. It wasn't about her, and what a great story that is with the way she's coming on at the end of her senior year. It's truly refreshing and actually very inspiring, I think, to young athletes that, you know, maybe face some hardships or some things maybe they didn't think would go their way. And she has just really illustrated everything from a character and a standpoint where, you know, a lot of kids could learn from that.
Well, then in the loss at Roosevelt, another one of your seniors, Ellie Mashoff, went 4-5 from behind the arc and scored a career-high 18 points. And I know she was coming off a rough shooting night at the Valley, but, boy, she just put it behind her and came out and had a great game, didn't she?
Ellie is just simply tough as nails. First of all, you know, for the last 2 years, she's been hands down our best defender. And she's a lockdown defender. Sometimes I get on her a little bit. She needs to be more aggressive on offense, and she's really stepped up and taken that role her senior year, and she's shooting right around 40% from three-point line. She shot the ball really well. Like you said, Valley was really the only night she's truly struggled shooting the ball, and that's going to obviously happen over the course of the season. But, yeah, Ellie has been – she's just been solid overall on both ends of the floor, and great senior leadership, and like all these seniors, just an awesome, awesome kid to coach.
Well, along with Calissa, another senior for you is Abby Johnson, of course, playing a huge role for this team. She leads the squad with averages of 14.6 points and 4.8 rebounds per game. And not after playing, you know, for the last 2 years, you know, due to a knee injury, I wasn't sure what to expect from her this season. But, boy, she's really been a good leader for you, hasn't she?
Absolutely. Abby's work ethic is second to none. Once again, speaking back to Rachel, being an inspiration to younger athletes, Abby, what she has endured in 4 years in her high school career, I wouldn't wish that upon anybody from an injury standpoint. And it's not only, you know, with injuries, Dan, as you well know, you've been around sports long enough, it's not the physical side of things, it's the mental and emotional piece that, you know, can just tear you down as an athlete and a person. And Abby has just stayed so positive, stayed the course. Her work ethic is second to none, and you're seeing that it's truly paying dividends here in her senior year. And for her to have two major ACL surgeries and a broken foot, a really bad broken foot there, her sophomore year that was, to overcome all of that and still come out of this having the year she is and getting a Division II basketball scholarship is truly remarkable.
Oh, for sure. Well, we can't talk about your individual players without mentioning Jenna Pitts, your sophomore point guard, whom I'm going to be talking to here in a bit. She's averaging 10.5 points and 5.3 assists per game. Now, I know you were hoping for her to raise her game to another level this year, and she's always responded, hasn't she?
Absolutely. Jenna's been playing at a different level, and I started seeing that some this summer, and then open gyms this fall, I started seeing some traces of that, and having some conversations with her, and then, you know, games started, and I saw it early in practice, and boy, I tell you what, the last month, she's just taken things to another level, and there for a while, I haven't checked stats as far as 5A, but she was leading 5A, I know, in assists, and speaking of assists, as me and her have had some conversations lately, is, you know, she is such a good distributor, such a team player, but we also, coming down this stretch run, need for her to look for her shot, because she's a girl that can truly get her shot off the dribble and in transition and get into the basket at any time. And that's so valuable when you're playing tough teams and making a tournament run.
Well, Drew, you guys will close out the regular season on Friday by hosting Ames, and you found out today that Ames is one of the teams that you could see in that first tournament game, so I don't know how you feel about, you know, the possibility of having that back-to-back situation, but Ames is a team that's been up and down, but they've shown at times that they can be really good, like last Friday when they took, Aiken Centennial down to the wire after being down by 20 points. I don't know what your approach to this game is going to be. There's not much riding on it in terms of the conference race because you guys have already wrapped up second place, so what is your approach to this game going to be like?
Conference, but to beat Ames and a program like that, Joel's a wonderful, he's not only a wonderful human being, he's a great coach, and he's ran a great program up there for years. Us rebuilding the program, to say we beat Ames three times in a year would be a truly remarkable feat for us, and so that's kind of the way we're looking at it that way, you know, and obviously they got to win their first round game, so, I think they're probably favored in that game or whatnot, that's kind of the way we're looking at it. Another little staple that we could put on our program as we're rebuilding, something the seniors could walk away with.
Well, you guys won that first matchup up at Ames 66-55 on January 23rd, and I thought that was maybe, you know, your most impressive win of the season. Boy, you guys came out and hit 6 three-pointers in the first quarter and built a 28-12 lead. You know, I don't know if you can play any better than you did in that first quarter.
Yeah, and the good thing about that is how well we played that day on a Saturday afternoon after traveling to Fort Dodge the night before. A little bit of the scary part of that is, the probability of making 6 threes in a quarter against a quality opponent isn't always real high, you know. So you just, every game kind of has a different facet to it and a little different feel and a little different flow. So, you know, it's going to be a totally different ball game on Friday night, and we just got to come out ready to play because Ames is, they're going to be chomping at the bit to beat us because, you know, we went up there last year in late January and beat them, and then, you know, going up there this year and beating them, and you got two great seniors with Wade and Iams. I mean, I'm sure they're not going to want to, in their great senior year and their great career at Ames, knowing that they got beat by Ankeny that many times late in their career. So we just got to be ready to go, and then obviously with the little bit of the adversity with Klitsa out, we definitely got our work cut out Friday night.
Well, like I said, the pairings came out today, and you probably knew going in that you were going to get one of the higher-ranked teams in your bracket, and you found out today that it would be Waukee. That's a team that you could see in the regional final if you get to that point. You know, what was your reaction to seeing them in your bracket? Is that maybe one of the teams that you didn't want to see?
I honestly was more worried about Wednesday and Saturday, to be quite frank with you, Dan. So to me, we had two big positives. We got that bye on Wednesday, and we get a home game on Saturday, and as you said, I knew we were going to play one of those top 4 to 6 teams, obviously, depending on where the state put us. So you could slice it 100 ways and look at matchups and who you play. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to be a really, really good team. And I didn't know how the state would go. And so we actually feel very fortunate to be the situation we're in. And then obviously adding Calissa's situation on top of it, not playing until Saturday, we're feeling pretty good about the situation. I mean, obviously, Waukee is extremely good, and it'll be a high mountain to climb, but we've been kind of living with the saying this year, why not us? So, it's a 32-minute game, and weirder things have happened. So,
well, of course, Waukee avenged its only loss when they beat Johnston a week ago in pretty impressive fashion, 58-40, and they haven't played as many games as some teams because they did take a pause for some COVID-19 issues, but if you had to pick one team in Class 5A to win it, I mean, Waukee's probably one of the first teams you'd have to pick, I would think.
I think there's 4 to 5 teams there that are, you know, on a given night to make a run and win the state championship, but, you know, some people would lean towards Waukee, but at the end of the day, like I said, we're really not focused at our first focus is trying to beat Ames Friday night, and then essentially, like you said, playing a two-game series, you know, the probability of playing that with Ames, with them beating Sioux City West, and then, you know, not having to play on Wednesday and getting that home game on Saturday, that's kind of more what we're looking at right now. We're staying small picture with that, and then how the chips may fall, a regional final game, it's a one-game series, anything can happen, so.
Well, yeah, assuming you can get Calissa back healthy, I mean, you got to feel like this team is maybe as prepared as any of the teams that you've had to maybe go on a little bit of a run.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, that's kind of where we're staying that small window right now and just focusing on us and getting to that point. And, And that's all we can do. You can only control what you can control. So at the end of the day, I just want this to be as special and a memorable run as possible for the an amazing group of seniors. And truly, in my 18 years of coaching, one of the most enjoyable teams I've been around on a day-to-day basis.
Well, Drew, before I let you go, I know you're a big Iowa fan. I want to get a couple of your thoughts on the Hawkeyes, who are actually playing Rutgers right now as we're taping this podcast. Maybe you're watching it. But
yeah, I got it. It's on in the living room.
But after watching them lose four of their last five games, are you concerned, or do you think, you know, they can get things turned around?
I think they can get things turned around. I've thought all year, you know, Luke is fabulous. And Luke is. He's on a pedestal. But to me, their glue guy, they're one of the best all-around players is C.J. Frederick. He guards the perimeter better than anybody. He stretches the floor, which makes Luka's life easier inside. He can play in transition. He can finish up, score off the dribble. He's so multidimensional. And I think, you know, since he's been out with the foot injury, they've lost 4 out of 5. So I think that's been huge for him. You know, it's a Big Ten. It's a bullies league, and everybody beats up on each other a little bit. And they'll be fine. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think they're more worried about an NCAA run than they are a Big Ten title. Yes, a Big Ten title would be great, but that's probably out of the picture now. Let's go make a run in the NCAA. So.
Right. Well, of course, Fran McCaffrey took some heat after the loss on Sunday at Indiana for sitting Luka for the last 12 minutes of the half after he picked up 2 fouls. Now, as a coach, you have to deal with a situation like that, you know, all the time. And, of course, your team only plays about 6 players regularly, so you maybe don't have, you know, the same kind of bench options that Fran does. But what did you think of his decision? I mean, I know that's kind of always been his M.O.
Fran makes a lot more money than me.
Uh-huh.
and obviously, has a better resume than I do. So I would never doubt Fran. With our situation with 6 girls, I don't have a choice. I play girls. And my MO, this is, and I'm not talking about Fran at all, but my MO has always been, depending on situation, matchups, and once again, like this year with our depth, you know, I'm not opposed to putting the player back in with 2 fouls. And that's just kind of me. Everybody's different. And I love Fran McCaffrey, and I support him to the fullest. And I bleed black and gold, go Hawks, and I love my Hawkeyes. So.
All right, Drew. Well, hey, I didn't expect you to rip Fran. So.
No. Yeah, I didn't want it to come across that way.
Oh, no, not at all. Well, hey, enjoy the conversation, Drew, and good luck on Friday. I'll see you there at the game. Hey, you bet. All right, my next guest is the sophomore point guard for the Hawkettes. She has scored in double figures in 9 of the 14 games this season, including a season-high 15 points and wins against Mason City and Ed Ames. She's Jenna Pitts. Jenna, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, congratulations on your team's win over Hoover last night. You had 14 points in the game. What did you think of your team's performance?
I thought we played really well. We had great ball movement, and we played really well as a team.
You guys didn't have much time to adjust after losing Calissa Wright to a concussion that she suffered in a car accident over the weekend. What were the biggest adjustments that you guys had to make?
Yeah, it was definitely a big loss for us. We're happy she's okay, but we're hoping she can get back on the court with us soon. We knew we had to try to fill her spot by getting some big boards and just creating energy.
Well, yeah, you guys don't have a lot of height to begin with, so then you lose her. Boy, you really don't have much out there, do you?
Yeah, we're really focusing on rebounding going into the tournament. It's definitely a big key for us.
Well, I just talked with Coach McAnally, and he said as well that he's hoping that Calissa will be back for the postseason next week. You know, I imagine you think it's pretty important to have her back, you know, if you guys want to make a run, huh?
Yeah, it definitely is. We're happy we got a bye on Wednesday to give her some more time to recover, but she's definitely a big key player in our success.
We'll talk about the postseason here in a minute, but you guys had a rough stretch recently where you lost 4 games in 6 days, all of them against rated opponents. You know, you maybe were ready for a break after that stretch, and you ended up getting a full week off because Friday's game at Marshalltown was canceled. Do you think that break was good for you guys, or were you anxious just to get back on the court?
I think going into practice, having extra days of practice was nice, but we also wanted to get back out there, try to get a win, and try to get our flow back.
Well, now you guys obviously didn't want to go 0-4 in those games, but you certainly played some good basketball during that stretch. You took Centennial down to the wire, and you lost 2 other games in the final seconds. Do you think those games showed that you guys, you know, are close to getting over the hump?
Yeah, definitely. I think that those games games really brought out the best in us, and we were right there with some of the best teams in the state, so I think that shows a lot about who we are.
Well, the Marshalltown game was canceled due to some COVID-19 issues with the Bobcats, and you also had a game against Waukee last month canceled for the same reason. You know, this has obviously been a very different season due to all the different protocols that you have to follow. Has it been pretty challenging for the players?
It's definitely a big adjustment. I think we've handled it really well, you know, just wearing masks and social distancing. But we've done a really good job of staying healthy this season, so we're very thankful for that.
Well, you guys will close out the regular season on Friday at home against Ames. You know, how important do you think it will be to win that game to build some momentum for the postseason? Because you could see Ames again, you know, in another week.
Yeah, I think it's very important. We played really well against them the first time, and obviously looking to get a second win against them leading into the tournament, that'd be huge.
Well, yeah, of course, those regional pairings were announced today, and you guys kind of knew going into it that you'd get one of the top teams in the state in your bracket, and you found out that Waukee would be that team. You know, that's the team that you would eventually see in the regional final if you get to that point. You know, what was your reaction to seeing Waukee in your bracket?
Well, we knew we were going to get paired up with a good team to try to make it to Wells Fargo, and no matter what, we knew we just had to show up and play our hardest no matter who we got paired up against.
Well, I remember you told me a couple weeks ago after you guys lost to Centennial that you were hoping to get another crack at them, and now it would have to come at the state tournament if that happened. But were you kind of disappointed that you didn't see Centennial in your bracket?
We definitely wanted to get another shot at them just because we were so close. But hopefully we see them in the tournament and try to get a win against them.
Well, obviously you guys do need to get Calissa back and healthy, but if that happens, I mean, do you feel like this is a team that could go on a postseason run?
I definitely think so. We've shown that we can play right up there with some of the top teams, so I think we're very capable of going on a run.
Well, you're averaging about 10 points and 5 assists per game, and I know Coach is looking for you to kind of take over the offense this year. Have you been happy with the way that you've played?
Yeah, I've been trying to be a leader this year and run the offense. I have great teammates surrounding me that just help me every day and help me be the best person I can be.
Well, of course, last year your sister Kayla was the leader of the team before she graduated. Did it seem kind of strange at the start of the season, you know, when she wasn't around anymore?
Yeah, it was definitely a big adjustment. She's always been a big role model for me on and off the court, and being able to play with her last year was awesome. I think she has made me a better player, and getting to play with her last year was awesome.
Well, I'm sure you'd love to keep this season going as long as you can for the seniors on the team. How much are you going to miss playing to them next year?
Our seniors this year are great. They're great role models on and off the court, and they bring such a good team chemistry, and they're great leaders every day, so we're going to miss them a lot next year.
Well, and then I know you have two more seasons of high school ball to play, but I'm sure you've at least, you know, thought about your future plans. Are you looking to play in college, and have you talked to very many coaches yet?
Talked to a few coaches. Right now, though, I'm just keeping my options open and seeing what can happen.
All right, Jenna. Well, hey, enjoyed the conversation. Good luck in the game on Friday night. I'll see you there.
Thank you.
Hey, you bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest's premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the Ankeny boys basketball team. He guided the Hawks on an amazing run to the Class 4A state title last year, and this season his team has posted an 8-7 record. He's Brant Carlson. Brant, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, you bet. Well, your team is coming off an impressive 66-38 victory on Tuesday against a very talented Des Moines Hoover team. You know, what did you think of your team's performance?
Really consistent and just kind of an impressive effort, I thought, overall, because of just our history with Hoover's always been so tight games and how strong of a team and program they've had over the years. So just really, really pleased with our guys. I know they were proud of their effort. And again, just really fun watching them grow this season.
Well, your team has had a little bit of an up and down season. You've never won or lost more than two games in a row, so you've never really had a bad stretch. But you know, you've had a hard time building some momentum as well. But you do have a very young team. Do you think that's been one of the reasons for your inconsistency, or is it more of a product of your schedule?
Probably both. I think that, you know, with our guys coming off the fall sport run that they had, I think just some lack of work together in the summer, just so many different factors, I think, and along with the schedule's been really tough too. But I think it's just been a year of growth for us, and something we've experienced before, working with young teams or inexperienced teams, and just something we really enjoy doing. Just have had a lot of fun with this group of guys, that and they're really coming together as a one group. And but it, like I said, it's fun. It's kind of part of high school basketball. Every year you're not going to have those runs, you know, to the state tournament or obviously a state championship. And so you got to fall in love, I think, with the process building too, with young people, whether that's in the sport or just in, you know, just in their growth as men too.
Oh, sure. Well, you guys spent a lot of time on the road recently prior to last night's game. Five of your six previous games were on the road, and you had a couple of nice wins during that stretch. You posted a 61-46 victory at Dowling on January 28th, and boy, I saw Dowling, you know, put up an impressive win last night, so that win by you guys is maybe looking even better at this point. And then you guys posted a 53-42 win at Roosevelt last Tuesday. So you've certainly shown some signs of being a pretty good team, I think.
For sure, and I think just with the growth of our guard play and some of the perimeter success starting to come around, I think if you look at those three games in particular, we shot pretty well from the perimeter, which definitely opened up some of the strengths of our post game and really forced the defense to make, you know, some decisions that worked in our favor. So, you know, I think the game of basketball is really about runs and confidence and things like that. So when we've had those things going, we can play with anybody, and that's been exciting to see, and hopefully it's something we can experience as we move forward this season.
Well, junior Ryan Crandall was a role player on last year's championship team, but he's had to take on a lot of responsibility this season. He currently leads your team with averages of 10.5 points and 7.3 rebounds. Have you been happy with the way he's adjusted to his new role?
Very much so. I think that, you know, it's tough to take on the role of the lead player in any program, especially when you go against these coaches and programs, the way they scout and really try to defend you. I know he's had to, you know, face Tame Lipsy, Jaron Cruz obviously has guarded him as well, and there's just a lot of really top-notch athletes going after him. And so for him to average almost a double-double, and he's had many of those stat lines this season, I think it's really a tribute to his toughness and willingness to compete. And I think he'll continue to perform strong for us. He's just a guy who loves to be in those moments, I think. So it's been fun to see.
Well, junior Braden Simonson is one of only two other returnees who really saw much action last year for you. Guard Matt Stickrat would be the other one. But Braden's part of your group of post players who've really made a lot of progress this season, I think. Brady McCall and J.J. Cole have also done a nice job in the paint, and you can probably throw Benter Nayal in that group as well. He certainly had a big game last night with 13 points. So all of those guys have really improved quite a bit, haven't they?
They have, and they challenge each other every day in practice. And it's just been a kind of a unique group of guys for us here in Ankeny. We typically have had some strong guard play. Immature guard play over the years, and not a lot of post players. So it's been fun to kind of work through some of the challenges that you have with a group like that because of the spacing issues and the way defenses play. So it's been fun to see their growth and how they've helped each other improve. And Braden Simonson's done a good job of really mentoring J.J. Cole a lot and Brady McCullough. So it's been just a unique opportunity, again, to work with young people and challenge them and watch them adapt and I guess grow to the new environments that they face every night.
Well, I just caught a little bit of last night's game, but boy, Benter had a big game, and he's kind of a unique player, and he probably weighs about 150 pounds, but he's got a big wingspan, doesn't he?
He does, and you know, he weighs more and he's stronger than he looks. You know, he's very durable. He's worked really hard, you know, just on his own individual game before and after practice. And I know he's you know, as a senior, he just wants to finish well, and it's been neat to see his growth and willingness to be patient. You know, there's been games where he didn't play a ton and games he didn't start and all these different things. And for some kids, that's really difficult, but he's handled it well. And I think he's got a big picture mentality, which is really fun. And I think he's going to have a bright future and career in basketball if he wants it.
Another guy I wanted to mention is your freshman point guard, Carson Johnson. He had a 19-point game and a win over Mason City last month, and he's had a couple of other double-digit scoring games of late. You know, boy, he's got a chance to be a really good player, doesn't he?
For sure, and you know, he just has such a strong work ethic. I know there's many weekends, you know, he's in the gym, you know, by himself with his dad and just putting a ton of time in and working on things that he was disappointed in the night before, for example. So he's a gym rat, and we have quite a few guys that are in that same capacity, and I think that's what's fun about Ankeny is just kids will love to compete and play hard and try to get better and want Ankeny to be good. And it's fun as a coach that you don't have to sit there and coach toughness or coach, you know, work ethic. We have a lot of kids that really do that well, so I'm very thankful.
Well, you guys will close out the conference schedule on Friday by hosting sixth-ranked Ames. The Little Cyclones won the first meeting last month, 55-34, and they've really been on a roll of late, including a 56-46 victory at Centennial on Friday that kept them alive in the conference race. So it's obviously going to be a huge test for you guys. You know, do you think you can do some things, you know, differently this time to have some more success on offense, or is it just a matter of, you know, hitting more shots?
You know, I hope so. I think that we're building toward that improvement. I think the big factor is just our guys are getting confident in their roles and kind of where their shots are coming from or need to come from, and stepping up and being more focused on their fundamentals versus, you know, am I going to make this shot? So, yeah, we're definitely working on some things that'll kind of create some more space for us, I hope. And, you know, our offense is one that when it gets going, our defense is really good too then, and like most teams. But, you know, I think that's a focus for us. And, again, we have some confident guys and other guys that are really building in their confidence. So, We love playing Ames. It's such a great battle, and they have such a solid group of guys and obviously one great player and a tough coaching staff to go against. So we've had some fun battles over the years, and I'm sure this will be another one.
And then your team will close out the regular season next week with two more games on the road at Southeast Polk and at Des Moines North. The Rams have been ranked at times this season, and the Polar Bears are battling Hoover for the Metro Conference title. You know, so those will be two more good tune-ups for the postseason, won't they?
For sure. I think every year it seems like we have just had a building up of preparation for the tournament, and these four games, you know, were tough ones when we looked at them at the very beginning of the season, not even knowing if we'd be able to play them. So these and all of these teams are playing, I think, pretty well right now, and so that'll be a challenge. And again, two road games, and it's just both good environments to be in, and two teams that provide different challenges. So no, we're looking forward to it. It's really been a fun season. We're very thankful to be able to play and be able to represent Ankeny well.
Well, of course, today the Iowa High School Athletic Association did announce the brackets for the sub-state pairings. And, of course, you already knew the teams that were going to be in your bracket, but you didn't know the exact pairings yet. But did they kind of fall the way you thought they would?
Well, for ours, you know, we were fighting hard for that two seed, and we were fortunate to get that. And I think other brackets, too, you know, I haven't taken a strong look at all of them, but it's always interesting, you know, when you put coaches in voting situations, sometimes it's always interesting to look at how do they vote and what was their thought process going into it, because we're all competitive people and we all kind of want that road that fits us best. So it's always interesting, I guess, to look at it. And every year, I should say, it's been different, you know, for us too. So sometimes you get a great opportunity, and sometimes it's a lot tougher than you'd like it to be. But at the end of the day, you got to beat whoever is in front of you and go for it, I guess. So yeah, it'll be a fun tournament again, I'm sure.
Well, I didn't get a chance to ask you yet, you know, what you thought of your bracket when they came out with the assignments. I mean, you found out that Waukee would be in your bracket, and that's a team that you would potentially see in the sub-state final. I mean, what was your reaction to seeing them there in your bracket?
Yeah. Things, I feel like, you know, every year you have to beat a good team, you know, no matter what the situation is. And I love playing Waukee. Our kids love playing Waukee. They're such a great team, and it's a great challenge. And at the end of the day, the first thing I said to our team was, well, you'd either face them in a sub-state bracket or you'd face them in the state tournament. You know, so at the end of the day, you know, you got to face them sometime. And so for us, I think it's just a goal to get to that game, hopefully, and see what we're all about on March 2nd or whatever that Tuesday night would be. So we're looking forward to it. It's always a fun opportunity.
Well, I know you can't worry about Waukee yet. In the semifinal, you guys would play the winner of the game between Norwalk and Mason City. You're obviously familiar with Mason City. You've beaten them twice in a couple of close games. Have you had a chance to dive into Norwalk too much yet? Do you know much about them?
Not too much. I mean, obviously, they've had such a great success run with Bowen Bourne, but they have really good players, and their coaches are used to winning. And I think their kids would be obviously up to the challenge of 4A basketball. They play a lot of good teams. I know Indianola and Pella and Newton in different programs over the last couple of years have faced some 4A competition and tournament play and done well. So, I mean, it's once you get into tournament play, you really can't look at the opponent based on, you know, what you think. You got to really evaluate the group of guys you're competing against, and you know, just hopefully we're playing at our best and can you know, battle well and all those things. But no, we haven't taken a strong look yet. We got a lot of games here left to play, so we'll definitely start diving into that opportunity when we get to scout them, like I believe against Mason City on that first round night.
Well, like I said, you can't worry about Waukee yet. But when you look at the state as a whole, I know Waukee is ranked second behind Cedar Falls because they did lose a game to Johnston earlier this year, and they did lose again last night to a Bellevue West team from Nebraska. But, I mean, do you kind of feel like going into the tournament that, you know, Waukee would have to be the favorite, though?
For sure. I don't see how you can vote against them. I just think they're just too talented. They've been to state now, 2 years in a row? And I don't know. I'm very impressed with their team. And what they're able to do, and I know Cedar Falls is good. I know Hempstead's really good too, but I can't see anybody better than Waukee talent-wise for sure.
Mm-hmm. Of course, last year you guys went on that amazing run to win the title that, you know, caught a lot of people off guard, and I'm sure you'd like to see your team pull that off again, and it maybe be even more surprising if you did it this year. But are there some other teams from the CIML that you could see maybe going on a similar run? I know Ames was ranked as high as number 2 earlier in the year, so it's not like, you know, they weren't supposed to be good, but boy, the way they're playing, you know, that's a team that I could see, you know, maybe going on a run.
For sure, and I've always thought this year the Centennial is outstanding. I think the way their guards play together and the way they compete in our second contest with them, I just thought they were so tough in the fourth quarter. Johnston obviously is very talented. You know, I never want to miss out on any team. I don't want to offend anybody. I just think, you know, there's some really good teams that get hot, and the CIML is just so tough the last 2 years, specifically, you know, Valley as well. So, I mean, man, any team from the CIML to me that gets into the state tournament could win it. I really believe that, and it'd be fun to see it, I guess, to continue that Central Iowa domination in a sense. That'd be fun. We'd love to see it.
Well, it should be a fun tournament, you know, regardless of who gets there. Let's just hope that everybody stays healthy, right? All right. All right, Brant. Well, thanks for your time tonight. I appreciate it. Enjoyed the conversation. Good luck on Friday night. I'll see you there.
Sounds great, Dan. Thank you very much.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a junior post player on the Ankeny boys squad. He is currently averaging 6.9 points and 3.6 rebounds per game. He is Braden Simonson. Braden, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Of course, I'm doing good. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, hey, your team had an impressive victory over Hoover last night. You had 7 points and 7 rebounds in that win. You know, what did you think of your squad's performance?
Yeah, I thought overall we did really good. We were trying to limit Voss's touches and shots. And, I mean, Bentor and Brady did a really good job on that. And then tried to let Chase score as much as he could, and so he wouldn't get as many assists, and we were just getting the open shots on offense, and I thought we were moving the ball around pretty well, and just good job on all of us.
Well, yeah, that defensive strategy certainly worked. You guys held them to 38 points, which tied the season low for you guys, and Chase Henderson did have 24 points, but I know he needed a lot of shots, you know, to get that many points, and you guys did hold Elijah Voss to just 3 points, you know, well below his average, so yeah, it certainly worked, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Well, I just talked with Coach Carlson about what a young team you guys have and how it's been kind of an up-and-down season. You guys have a lot of talented parts, but I know some of you guys, you know, had probably never played with each other very much before this season. And, of course, with COVID-19, there wasn't much of a chance to play together last summer. Has it just taken a while to get used to playing with everybody?
Yeah, I think so. There's, like you said, there's a lot of younger kids new to the program and stuff, and they were just trying to learn their way around, and we had some older guys kind of step up and take them under their wing and stuff, and just – now that we're getting there towards the end of the season, we're finally starting to come together as a team. And, yeah, everyone's starting to mature more, and we're just playing as a team.
Well, yeah, you have had some young guys take on some pretty big roles, including sophomores Braden Dre, J.J. Cole, and Carson Weedy, and freshman Carson Johnson has become the team's starting point guard. Did you know coming into the season how much young talent there was on this team?
I had an idea, but I don't think until like we started playing that I realized how good that this team could be and how good that all of these guys were until like we started practicing, because like for football, we didn't get a chance to see them at the beginning of the season. And once we got to practice, we're like, dang, these guys are good. This is going to be a fun year.
Well, of course, you needed some guys to step up because you didn't have a lot of guys, you know, coming back from last year. And, of course, you lost Brecken. So, yeah, you needed these guys to step up, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. The loss of Brecken hurt us, but filled the spot and doing good now.
Well, your team has had some other nice wins of late, most notably the road victories over Dowling Catholic and Roosevelt. Do you think those games kind of showed what this team is capable of?
Yeah, I do. We got a great game plan, and then we went out there and executed. And on offense, we were just playing as a team, having fun, and enjoying others' success. And I think that really helped us give us momentum going into the next games.
Well, what do you think are going to be the keys for this team to reach its potential?
I think definitely defense. We got to execute the game plan. And on offense, we just got to keep moving the ball and not settle for shots and keep working the ball inside to out and start knocking down some more shots.
Well, yeah, I'm sure Coach Carlson stresses defense a lot, doesn't he? Because, you know, from game to game, you never know when your offense might be there or not be there. But defense, you always got to bring it, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And we do that. We get after it at practice. Every practice.
Well, both you and Ryan Crandall, as well as Matt Stickrat, were role players on last year's championship team, and coach has asked all of you guys to play much larger roles this season. Have you been happy with the way that you've played?
Yeah, I've been as little offseason as I've had, especially with me and Ryan coming from football, the football state team, and having very little time to get adjusted into basketball. I think we did. I think I'm playing pretty well.
Well, you certainly played a key role in your team's win at Mason City in the season opener. You stepped in and took a charge in the final seconds when you guys were leading by just 2 points. And that's kind of the dirty work that you like to do, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it just brings a different element. Teams have got to be ready for that. And if they're not, I mean, it's just momentum killer for them and momentum gain for us. And then our team just takes it and runs with it and go from there.
Well, you guys will host Ames in your conference finale on Friday, and the Little Cyclones are a team that is really on a roll right now. They defeated Centennial last Friday to stay in the title chase. So if you guys could beat Ames, it would not only be a big win for your team, but it could also help the Jaguars clinch the outright conference title. So do you want to help out your crosstown rival?
I mean, I don't want to help them, but at the same time, I do want to beat Ames because it gives us even more momentum going into sub-state. Especially with knowing we're going to have to face Waukee down the road again for the third time.
Right. Well, of course, your team lost the first meeting at Ames last month, 55-34. What's going to be the key to reversing the outcome this time?
I think just play better defense overall. Try to slow Taman down and give up less open shots from Corey and Taman.
Yeah, it should be a good game. I'm looking forward to that one. Well, of course, you guys didn't know your postseason pairings until today. You knew the teams in your bracket, but you didn't know the actual pairings. But you found out that you will host either Norwalk or Mason City in that semifinal game. Of course, you guys are very familiar with Mason City. You've beaten them twice. You probably haven't learned too much about Norwalk yet, have you?
No, not really. I know they're a pretty good team, and it'll be interesting to watch that game and watch and see how they play against Mason City.
Well, you mentioned the possibility, of seeing Waukee for the third time in that sub-state final. What was your reaction when you found out that they were in the same bracket with you guys and that you might see them again?
Yeah, I was excited. I mean, it's tough to beat a team three times in the same year. And we gave them a run for their money and in the first half of that second game. And so we know what we got to do if we get that chance again, and we'll be ready.
Well, of course, that team is just so talented. I mean, it's hard to play with them for four quarters. What do you think would be the key to, keeping that game close into the second half and giving you guys a chance to win the game?
Yeah, I think we got to give up less shots. I mean, they can shoot from pretty much anywhere in the half-court set, And then when they get the ball inside, Omaha just gets physical down there. And I think we just got to play some good defense, limit their open shots.
Of course, you guys went on that amazing postseason run last year, and I know this is a very different team this year, but do you think you guys can draw on that experience from last year to help you in the postseason?
I think we could. I don't think we'll try to, like, replicate the team. I think we'll just, because we're a different team this year, so I think we'll try to build our own season and our own destiny and control that.
Sure. Well, of course, Braden, you also played a huge role on the Ankeny football team that won the state championship back in November. You earned third-team All-State honors as a defensive lineman from the Iowa Print Sports Writers Association after racking up 37 tackles and 4 sacks. And I know you've been getting some looks for football. Have you started to narrow down your list of schools, or are you still kind of in the early stages of the recruiting process?
I'm still kind of in the early stages, talking to a couple schools.
What are the things that you're looking for in a school? Do you think it'd be like playing time, or is it academics that you're focusing on?
Academics and then like the overall culture of the football team.
We certainly have some time to make a decision. You probably don't even need to make it for, you know what, another year.
Yeah, probably not, but it'd be nice to start narrowing it down so I have a chance to focus on those schools.
Sure. Well, hey, Braden, thanks for your time tonight. Enjoyed the conversation. Good luck on the game Friday night. I'll see you there.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to switch gears here now for a little bit. My final guest tonight is a standout sophomore on the Ankeny boys swimming team, and he'll be looking to help the Hawks to their second state title in 3 years on Saturday at Linmar High School. He is Lance Swanepoel. Lance, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. And thank you for always including the Ankeny swim team in your posts. Thank you for supporting.
You bet. Well, you guys have a great team, so yeah, we can't ignore you. Well, hey, but before we look ahead to the state meet, let's go back to Saturday's district meet for a bit. You guys dominated the meet at Southeast Polk, winning 9 of the 11 events and easily capturing the team title. You know, you guys pretty much accomplished everything that you wanted to, didn't you?
Yes and no. A lot of our times were good, but we really wanted to be a little faster, so we're hoping that's what we'll get at state.
Well, you were part of three pool records that day. One of them came in the 100 butterfly, which you won in a time of 49.93 seconds. Now, last year, you didn't break the 50-second barrier in the fly until the state meet. So does that mean you're a little bit ahead of schedule, you know, this year and can drop even more time on Saturday?
Yeah, I'd say I'm a little ahead of schedule. I wanted that 49 all year, though. I knew if I got that 49 in districts, I could go even faster at state. So I am looking to cut time there.
Well, you also anchored the winning 200 and 400 freestyle relays that also set a pair of pool records. Now, in the 400, you guys beat Valley by just 0.22 seconds, and I wasn't around at the end of the meet. So did you have to come from behind, or did you have to hold Valley off on that leg?
Oh, I definitely had to come from behind on that one. I think they were ahead around 2 seconds on it.
Oh, so nice big comeback from you, huh? All right. Well, you also had a second-place finish in the 200 freestyle at a time of 141.36. You finished behind teammate Trent Franson in that race. He was clocked in 140.71, which set a pool record. Now, Trent is a two-time state champion in both the 200 and 500 freestyle events, but you've come close to beating him on at least a couple occasions this year. In a dual meet against Indianola last month, you finished just 1/10 of a second behind him in the 200 free. So do you like swimming against him, and do you think that makes you faster?
Yeah, he just makes you swim faster, I guess.
All right, well, let's talk about the state meet now. Of course, it's going to be held at the Linmar Pool instead of Iowa City. Have you ever swam there, and do you think that'll be a pool that'll produce some fast times?
I actually have swam there before. So, yeah, I've swam there before. It's a nice pool, built by the same people actually that built the Iowa City pool. It's on the same level, I would say, as Iowa City, and it will definitely produce some good times out of everyone.
Well, good. Glad to hear that. Well, you guys qualified the biggest state meet team in school history. You advanced all three relays and a total of 21 swimmers in 8 individual events. You know, do you like your team's chances to win the state title?
I'd say we do have a really good chance. Waukee is looking great. I know a lot of the guys on the Waukee team, and they're all super fast swimmers. But, yeah, I'd say we have a good chance if our guys step up to the occasion.
Well, Ankeny won the 2019 championship before placing second behind Iowa City West last season. Waukee was the runner-up 2 years ago and placed third last year and is currently the number one team in the power rankings, followed by you guys and then Iowa City West. So do you think it's kind of a three-team race?
Yes, for sure. I didn't really think Iowa City West would be as good as they are this year, but they showed out. And Waukee is as good as I expected. Their sophomore class is very fast. So, yes. Definitely a three-team race.
On paper, it kind of looks to me like Waukee is certainly the team to beat. They boast the top qualifier in three individual events, and they're among the top five seeds in all three relays. If they just swim to their seeds, I think they would score a total of 266 points if my math was right. You know, that would make them pretty tough to beat, wouldn't it?
Yes, but the thing is about that, I've thought of the same thing. And on paper, they do look like the favorite, but on paper, Trent's also not winning his events. And we have a couple guys that need to move up, and that I think will move up. So it'll be a lot closer than the paper shows.
Right, exactly. Well, let's talk about each of your events, beginning with that 200 freestyle. You're seated fourth in that event, and Trent is second. Waukee's A.J. Abram is the top qualifier in that event. So that would certainly be big if Trent could beat him, and even bigger if you could as well, right?
Oh, that'd be huge. That's the goal. That's really what we're shooting for, is to go 1-2 in that. In no particular order, me or Trent.
Right.
It'd be really good to beat AJ and that Cooper Callahan.
Now, you placed fifth in that event a year ago as Trent set the all-time state record, and you posted a time of 142.61 that you've already eclipsed this season. So what's your goal for that race in terms of time? Do you think you might be able to break 140?
The goal is to go past 140 and go around a 137. That's my overall goal. So I think that'll get me to where I want to be in placement too.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you swim 137, you might be right there. So. Well, then in the butterfly, you're seated second behind Kyle Hopewell of Davenport Central, who posted a time of 49.71 at his district meet. And Hopewell placed third a year ago, while Andrew Ryder of Waukee is the defending champion. And he swam a time of 50.07 at the district meet and is seated third. So that race kind of looks like a three-man race, doesn't it?
Yes, it really does. Both of those guys are crazy fast. I haven't really interacted with Kyle as much as I have Drew, but I know Drew will put up a fight no matter what. So it'll be a really good race.
Well, you posted a time of 49.57 at last year's state meet, which broke Mike Johnson's school record that had stood for more than 30 years and nearly cracked the state's all-time top 10 list. And Ryder went 48.93 to win the race. So do you think it'll take another sub-49 time to win it this year?
Most definitely. If I know Drew, he'll be going. He'll be around that same time this year. And I'm hoping to go lower. So, I'm hoping to go lower. So it'll be a really, really good race.
That should be a fun one. Well, let's talk about the relays now. You guys are seated third in both the 200 and 400 freestyle relays, and I know one of the team's goals is to win a relay title because Ankeny has never won one. You know, do you think this is the year that you guys can get that done?
I think this year is our best chance we'll ever get. We've got some really fast guys in the freestyle, and I feel like all the pieces are aligning for this relay title.
Well, in the 200 free relay, the top three seeds, Iowa City West, Bettendorf, and Ankeny, are separated by just 0.27 seconds. And Bettendorf always has some great sprinters. And, of course, the Bulldogs' Alex Stone is the top qualifier in both the 50 and 100 freestyle events for this year. And they'll be looking to defend their title. You know, so they're certainly going to be a formidable foe, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. They're always crazy good in relays. Every year you can look back and they always win those 200 and 400 relays. So we're hoping that we can take a couple of those from them.
And then Bettendorf is the top qualifier in the 400 free relay with a time of 309.39, and Waukee is the number two seed at 309.72, just ahead of you guys. So if the team race would happen to come down to that final event, you know, that would certainly set up an exciting finish, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. And our guys, when we swam that third seed, we weren't really swimming our fastest. We were really drained from that district meet. So I feel like at state, when the adrenaline's there, I have a good feeling that our guys will cut some time on that.
Well, I know you guys at that district meet as well. You're trying to be real careful on your exchanges, too, because you didn't want to DQ, so I'm sure you can shave some time there, too, as well, don't you think?
Most definitely. That we were very safe on those because you don't want a stage run to be ruined by those exchanges.
Now, you guys are fortunate to have Trent swimming the opening leg in both of those relays, so there's a good chance that he'll put your team in the lead in both of those races. You know, and you've been swimming the anchor leg, so that, you know, that might put some pressure on you to maintain that lead if you guys are able to hang on to it for the first three legs. Do you like swimming that anchor leg?
anchor. It's I feel like I have the whole race in my hands, and I feel like I'm in control. When you're the first, second, or third guy, you feel like you're putting another person in the position to win, but I like being the person in the position to win it or lose it. I like having all the pressure on me so I know I can win.
Yeah, it's got to be a pretty good feeling, you know, when you touch the wall at the end of your leg and you know you got first, huh?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Well, hey, Lance, the last thing I wanted to ask you about is your future in swimming. I know your brother, Jay, who graduated last year, went on to swim at Truman State, but he quickly decided that it wasn't for him, and he ended up transferring to Iowa State. So are you planning to swim in college, and have you started to look at some schools?
Yes, I am planning to swim in college. I have looked at some schools, but none of them can really talk to me until June 15th. I definitely do plan on continuing my swim career in college.
We certainly have a lot of time left to make your decision, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yep. Well, hey, Lance, thanks for your time tonight. Enjoyed the conversation. Good luck on Saturday. I'll probably see you over there.
All right, thank you.
Hey, you bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again for joining me tonight. We had Ankeny girls basketball coach Drew McAnally, as well as his sophomore point guard, Jenna Pitts. We had Ankeny boys basketball coach, Brant Carlson, and his junior post player, Braden Simonson. And we finished it off with Ankeny swimmer, Lance Swanepoel. I really appreciate the time from all of those people. Looking ahead to next week, we'll probably have a podcast focusing on both swimming and wrestling. We have the state wrestling meet coming up next week, so we may preview that, as well as recap the state swim meet. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.